Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
Psalm 103, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I like to say it this way: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and every fiber of my being." Everything that makes up Aram Meshagan is going to be used to bring honor and glory to God. If I have a gift or a talent or an ability, I'm going to use it. Why? Because it came from him, and I'm going to return it to him. I'm going to use my mind to learn about him. You know, the Bible talks about loving God with all your heart, your mind. How many of you know it's important that we use our mind to serve and worship God? This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Then he goes on to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Somebody say, "Forget not." Now that's important. You need to hold on to that phrase, "forget not." He says, "Forget not all his benefits." How many of you understand there are some benefits to walking with Christ? He says, "He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Verse 6 says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." Now, King David, who is writing this, now he's going to start reflecting back on the history of his nation. So he's not just pulling from personal experiences of seeing how God has blessed him and shown up for him, but he's going to start going back and showing how God has shown up for the nation overall. He says that the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel." And here is what was revealed to them by them encountering God. They learned that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You need to know that God is merciful. Turn to the person next to you, he's merciful. It's important for you to get that because you will respond to God based upon how you perceive God to be. If you see God as this guy up in the sky with this rod of lightning just waiting for you to mess up so he can crack you over the head, I promise you, whenever you do mess up, now I know that no one in the 11 o'clock crowd has ever made a mistake in their life, but I have to add this in because the 9:30, they're just, wow, they're crazy, you know. But if you feel like every time you mess up, God is after you to get you, then what happens is when you mess up, you're going to hide. But if you believe that he is merciful and he is gracious, when you mess up, instead of hiding from him, you're going to run to him because you know that when you get to him, you're going to find healing. You're going to find help. You're going to find strength. You're going to find peace. You're going to find joy. I need you to know that God is standing with open arms saying, "Hey, whatever you got, bring it to me because I love you. I am merciful and I am gracious." "He will not always chide," verse 9 says. That means he's not always going to rebuke, nor will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10 is one of my favorites. "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." What that means is if you have come to Christ for forgiveness, then you don't have to pay for what you did. Here's why. Jesus paid the price for you. He suffered and hung on a cross so that you don't have to suffer and hang on a cross. Verse 11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." That means when you honor God, when you reverence God, you'll get to experience the love of God. I wish I had time to really walk you through that this morning. But again, it goes back to how we view God, if we view him as loving and merciful and gracious, then that's how we get to experience that from him, because we honor him and we recognize that about him. Verse 13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Are you seeing a theme? It says, steadfast love toward those who fear him. He shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place is known no more. That means who we are now is a temporary condition. Verse 17 says, but the steadfast love of the Lord. So now let's contrast this. You're temporary. You change, but his love does not. And we should be so thankful that his love doesn't change. We should be so thankful that every day he's not up there changing his mind about how he feels about you based upon what you've done. And if you don't like that, I'll take all of it. Amen? But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Doesn't change. On those who fear him, are you seeing the theme of honor? And his righteousness to their children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his mighty angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There are three words I want you to take hold of this morning, and they are this: remember, reflect, respond. Remember, reflect, respond. Remember the goodness of God. Reflect on everything that God has done for you, and respond to what he has done through honor. David says, that's how I'm going to live. I'm going to bless the Lord, O my soul. Every fiber of my being is going to be used to worship and honor and revere God. He's reflecting, listen, Psalm 103, he's reflecting on his life. He's reflecting on the nation of Israel. He's reflecting on the blessing of God, but he's also giving us some insight into how to remain positioned to experience it. Somebody say, your position matters. Come on, say it like you mean it. Your position matters. Randy is our worship pastor. I met him when I was 12 years old. We've been friends a long time. We've done a lot of things together, and there was a short period of our life where we were into motorcycles, and that was the primary mode of transportation that we had. And so one day we are at work in Marietta, and we hear that a storm is coming, and he and I are on our motorcycles. Now, to get from work to where we were going, it was going to be a 30-minute drive, and Randy came to me and was like, I think we need to leave. And I was like, oh, we're good. We're good. He's like, no, man, I really think we need to go ahead and get, you know, where we're going so that we can beat the storm. I'm like, dude, chill out. We're totally fine. Now, you need to know, we were not dressed for inclement weather. I had on Converse tennis shoes. For those of you who do not know what Converse are, they are cloth tennis shoes. You know they don't do too well in water, right? So we're not dressed for a storm, but we finally leave, and when we get about a quarter mile down the road, the bottom falls out. And when I say we are drenched, we are absolutely drenched. And if you've never ridden a motorcycle in rain, it is quite painful. It's like being stung by 1,000 bees. It's like being pelted with rocks. You think you're going to die. It is a miserable feeling, especially when you're not equipped properly. By the time we made it home, we were completely soaked head to toe, and I didn't have a change of clothes because I was at Randy's house, and Randy and I are two different sizes. And I got wet because I left the shelter. How many of you have ever used one of these before? It's an umbrella. How many of you, this is about to freak you out, me opening it in a building? Now, you know how this works, right? If it's raining outside and you've got an umbrella, if you are standing under the umbrella, you will remain what? Dry. But if I decide to change my position and it's storming outside, now what's going to happen? I'm going to get wet. Now, the umbrella did not change. The umbrella's ability to keep me dry did not change. Its function, its purpose remained the same. What happened was I changed my position. As long as I was under its covering, I experienced its benefit. But as soon as I make the decision to do things my own way and figure out things my own way, now I have positioned myself outside of the covering. The reason I want you to understand that is because God does not change. So the person next to you say, God does not change. He does what he does. He will do what he will do. The Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen. What that means is if God has said it, he will accomplish it. God does not change. Please get that. Turn to the person next to you and say, God does not change. But your position can. And your position will determine how you receive from him. As long as I'm under the umbrella and under the covering, then I can experience his favor, his goodness, his kindness, his love, his mercy. But as soon as I step outside, then I'm open up to the elements. King David knows that. He knows that from his own personal story. But he also knows it by reflecting back on the nation of Israel. He knows what it's like to experience God's blessing, but he also has seen what it looks like to step out from under that covering. And he's saying, we've got to be very careful to remain positioned. How do we position ourselves? With honor. Because as soon as we forget who God is in our life, then we're going to move outside of his blessing. That's why he's pulling us down into that story of Israel, when he's talking about Moses. He's saying they experienced who God was. They experienced God's favor. They experienced God's blessing. But how did they handle it? See, if you don't know their story, they ended up in bondage. For over 400 years, they were in bondage in Egypt. It was a terrible situation. And they started crying out to God. And because of God's love and mercy, God shows up and he delivers them out. And what's so cool about God is he doesn't just bring them out. He brings them out wealthy and healthy. If you read the Bible, it says when they left, there was none feeble among them. The Bible says that they ransacked Egypt, meaning everything that was Egypt's, they plundered. So they leave and they are experiencing God's blessing. And now they're on their way into this new land of promise, a place of freedom, a place of blessing. And God said, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be so good. But then he gives them this warning. He says, when you get there and you start experiencing the blessing, don't forget the one who blessed you. He's saying when things start going good, don't forget that I'm the one that delivered you. Don't forget that the source of your wealth came from me. Sadly, they do like many of us. And instead of remembering God, they forget him. I don't know what it is about us, but sometimes when we get comfortable and life is good, we forget God. Now, when crisis strikes, we're back. You know, we're at the foot of the altar. We're crying out to God. But once God shows up, life starts getting easy. Life starts getting comfortable. Then what do we do? And really, the test of our honor and our love towards God is how do we live when times are good, not when times are rough. And Israel repeats this vicious cycle all through their history where things get good, they forget God. And because they forget God, watch. They step out from under the covering. Now remember, God's desire to love them and to bless them, to provide for them, to take care of them, did not change. but their position did, because they forgot him. And then things would get difficult in their life, and so they would cry out to God, and God would respond, and God would bring them back under his covering. But now life is good again. I don't have any problems right now. And what happens? They forget to honor God for who he is and for what he's done. And over again, for hundreds of years, the nation of Israel is living this way. Here, then here, then here, then here. Now, King David is the king. And he's saying the cycle's got to stop somewhere. We've seen the pattern. I mean, don't you think, like, once you see the pattern and how it works, it would clue us in? Like, it's much better to live under the umbrella than it is out in the elements on our own. And David's saying, I can't speak for you, but for me, I'm going to bless the Lord. For me, I'm not going to forget everything that he's done. And when I remember and when I reflect, I'm going to respond through honor. Why? Because honor is what positions you to receive from God. Every good thing flows from honor. If you do not honor God for who he is, you cannot receive from God what he does. Are you familiar with the story where Jesus goes to his hometown? When he gets there, the Bible says that he was not able to do many mighty works. It's strange. What is different between him being at his hometown and him being anywhere else that he went? Because everywhere he goes, miracles are happening. People are getting delivered. People are getting set free. But now he comes home and there's nothing. Did Jesus change? Did his ability change? No. Who Jesus is remained the same. His ability to heal, set free, deliver remained the same. But when he goes home, they do not recognize him. They do not honor him. And they treat him like a common person. And because of their lack of honor, they're shut off from the blessing. Please hear what I'm saying. Honor is so important. You know, this month we've been in a series called Money Matters, but really we should have called it Honor Matters. Because we're dealing with less about money and more about the condition of our heart. Because if my heart is right and I honor God, then everything that I do is going to flow properly. If I honor God, no one's going to have to stand up here on a Sunday and do a pep rally to try to get me to raise my hands and sing and worship. I'm going to do that because I love God. I honor God. No one's going to have to try to push me to serve in the church. It's just going to happen because I love God. I honor God. No one's going to have to push me to give on a Sunday morning in an offering, because it's just going to be my response to who God is and what he's done in my life. So the only reason that we even deal with money and say that money matters is because money actually will reveal your heart. It'll show what you believe. It'll show what you love. It'll show what you honor. I mean, I was thinking about it this morning, Paul. If you want to know what I love and what I'm into, look at my bank statements. And if you were to look at my bank statements, one, you'll see that I place a high priority on providing for my family. You're going to see that I take care of making sure that they've got a house to live in. You're going to see that we make sure that they have clothes to wear. You're going to see that we take care of feeding them. We take care of their physical body. I was thinking, I should have told y'all this, but this past Friday was my birthday. I turned 44 years old, and I got the most amazing gift in my life. I've never seen anything like this. It is a $4,000 t-shirt. $4,000. And some of y'all are like, that's ridiculous. That's just too much. No, nobody should have that, especially a pastor. You know, that's your attitude right now. Like, you shouldn't have a $4,000 t-shirt. But if you had a $4,000 t-shirt, I guarantee you'd either wear it or sell it. And here's how I got it. Now, I didn't pay for this shirt. I didn't buy the shirt. It was given to me as a gift. And the way I got it was, I took my daughter to the orthodontist, and they gave her braces. And the braces cost $4,000, but the orthodontist, so generous and knew it was my birthday, she said, I want to give you a t-shirt. And so she gave me an Orthozone t-shirt worth $4,000. At least that's what I'm going to tell myself. But the point is, took y'all on a ride there, didn't I? Some of y'all, I'm leaving this church. Pastor sneakers, you know. But the reason I mention that is because if you look on my bills, you're going to see, like, we do care about their health. We're going to take care of their physical body. We're going to make sure that their teeth are taken care of. You're going to see that my kids play sports. You're going to see that we travel, that we go on vacations. A big portion of my money, you're going to see, goes to feeding me because I like to eat. I want to be a full gospel preacher. But you're also going to see that we honor God with our finances. We don't put anything out of priority. We take time to say, God, I recognize that everything that I have comes from you. And I gladly return a portion of it back to you. It's not an obligation. Please hear my heart. It is not an obligation for me to give. It's a joy for me to give. On my way out of the first service, somebody gave me a gift this morning. When I opened it up, it was a little bit of money. You know what I did? I went to my office, I grabbed an envelope, and I immediately put a tithe and an offering in an envelope based upon what they handed to me. Why? Because it's a joy to give. But I also know that that kind of honor positions me for a blessing. Watch what the Bible says in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Why? Does God need your money? He doesn't. It's not about money, it's about your heart. See, every time we get paid, there's a test to see who has your heart. But verse 10, he says, if you'll do this, if you'll honor me with your wealth, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. In other words, once you show that I'm the source of your life and you show that you trust me for provision, then I'm going to step in and I'm going to start taking care of some things for you. One of the saddest things about the nation of Israel is God did provide. He blessed them. He fed them. He caused water to come out of a rock. He caused their clothes to grow on them and not wear out. He caused their shoes to not wear out while they were going through the wilderness. And then he brings them into this land of plenty. He was their provider. But then over time, they start looking at the other nations of the world and they start saying, you know what? We would really like to have a king like them. And in doing so, they rejected God as their king and said, we want man as our king. Because what they're showing is, I really don't trust God to protect us. I don't really trust God to provide for me. We need a man or an institution to do that. See, they were revealing their heart. But all along, God is saying, I want you to be under this umbrella. I want to be the one who takes care of you. I want you to experience my love, my goodness, my mercy, my grace. But in order to do that, you have to remain positioned. How do we position ourselves? Through honor. And God says, when you honor me for who I am, I will take care of you. One of the most fascinating stories in Scripture is the story of Jacob. If you think the Bible is boring, go home and read the story of Jacob because it will blow your mind. It is amazing. It is spicy. It's got some, and I don't think we have any little kids in here today in the second service, so we get to go for this thing. So here's the deal. Jacob, one day, he goes to this guy named Laban's house. And when he gets there, he sees this girl named Rachel. And Rachel is smoking hot. Read it for yourself. That's my translation, but she was smoking hot, had beautiful eyes. And Jacob immediately fell in love with Rachel. How many of you believe in love at first sight? If you, dude, you're sitting right next to your wife. Please, I'm trying to help you. No, but Rachel, Jacob sees Rachel. He's like, I'm all in. I love this girl. So he goes to her dad. He's like, I want to marry your daughter. She's awesome. And Laban says, well, I can't just give her to you. Like, you're going to have to work for this thing. You know, it's their custom at the time. And so they come up with this arrangement where Jacob is going to work for Laban for 7 years. And once you complete 7 years of work, then you can have my daughter Rachel. How many of y'all be like, peace out, bro? She's good looking, but I'm sure there's some multiple fish in this sea, you know. But Jacob is so smitten by Rachel, he's like, let's go. I'm all in. So he works 7 years to get the girl of his dreams. And at the end of 7 years, he comes to collect. Now here's the problem. Because of Jacob, Laban is being blessed. Because Jacob has learned how to live under this umbrella we're talking about. So Laban really doesn't want to lose Jacob. So he's kind of messing with him. So the night of their wedding, they go to their tent. Let you fill in the blanks. And the next morning, when Jacob wakes up, stretches out, rolls over to look at his beautiful bride, he looks her in the eyes and realizes it's not Rachel. It's her sister Leah. So he goes to Laban, who is now his father-in-law. He's like, what have you done? We made a deal. I'll work for you for 7 years, but I get Rachel. And Laban's like, well, look, it's not right for us and our custom to give away the youngest daughter first. So tell you what, you go ahead and take Leah. You can keep her. And then if you'll work another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. And Jacob's like, okay, deal. So now he has to work another 7 years to get Rachel because he loves her. But remember, this whole time he's working for Laban, and as a result, Laban is blessed because the blessing of God is on Jacob. So now at the end of 14 years, Jacob's like, okay, give me what belongs to me. Let me take my wife, and I'm getting out of here. And Laban doesn't want him to leave, so Laban's like, no, you can't go. Like, I need you to stay. I know that I'm blessed because of you. Just hang around, work. I'll give you whatever you want. And so Jacob's like, fair enough. You know, I've been keeping your sheep, your flock. Give me all the animals that are spotted and speckled. Those will belong to me. And then everything that's solid color, those will belong to you. That way we know that if I end up with anything solid color, then I stole it. But if it's spotted or speckled, it belongs to me. So Laban's like, fair. Well, Laban, he's such a trickster, he takes all the spotted speckled ones away and hides them and only puts out his flock to mate. So all the solid colored animals are out there mating, but something interesting happens. When they give birth, they come out spotted and speckled. And this happens over and over and over again. And there's a major transfer of wealth where Jacob increases and Laban does not. What was it about Jacob that caused him to live in this kind of position? To see this, all you have to do is back up a little bit in the story, and you'll see what Jacob does before he even meets Laban or Rachel or Leah. Genesis 28:20 says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. In other words, if this God says he'll take care of me, I'm going to put him to the test. And if he does, I'm going to make him my God. He says, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. What's he saying? I'm going to recognize who you are in my life. I'm going to recognize that when I am blessed, it has come from you. And here's how I'm going to respond. I'm going to be faithful to return 10% back to you. Not out of law, not out of obligation, but out of love, honor, and respect. And because he honored God, God built his house. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Church, what would it look like if every single one of us said, you know what, I'm going all in with God. I'm making God a priority in my life. And you're going to see that through how I spend my time. See, it's not just money, church. Hear what I'm saying. We're talking about money because money really does indicate where our heart's at, but How am I spending my time? How am I using my thought life? How am I using my gifts and my abilities and my talents? Do I use my life to honor God and point people to Jesus, or do I live my life however I want? Is church just a part of my life? Is God just a part of my life? Or is God the source of my life? If we can ever get this right, we're going to see a whole city changed. Because we're going to come in here on fire on Sunday mornings. We're going to wake up like I did this morning and say, God, thank you that my house is still standing because you did that. Thank you that my kids are still breathing this morning because you did that. Thank you that I have health because you did that. God, I thank you for another year of life. You did that. It's not me. I'm not the source. God is the source, and I choose to gladly honor him for who he is in my life. And I want to encourage you this morning. Go all in. What is it that you're holding back? What are you holding back from God that today you need to say, you know what, God? You have every portion of me. My marriage is yours. I'm going to do family in a way that honors you. My career, that's yours. I'm going to work with integrity. I'm going to be an honest person. I'm going to do things the way that you've asked me to do them. Why? Because I am a vessel that is created and designed to honor you. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.